Hello, and welcome to the Badger Talks podcast, the podcast that shares interviews with experts from the University of Wisconsin-Madison community about their work, research, and a little bit about what they're like as people, too. I'm your host, Buzz Kemper, and today we're talking about the Main Street Agenda Project, and I'm happy to have as my guests Amber Wachowski, Associate Professor of Public Affairs and Leadership Wisconsin Endowed Chair for the Division of Extension, and Susan Webb Yockey, Collins Bascom Professor of Public Affairs at UW-Madison and the Director of the La Follette School of Public Affairs. Welcome, Amber. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
And welcome to you, Susan.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Great to have you both. And I'm really curious to know about the Main Street Agenda Project and how it started. So let's start with a little bit of the history. I know that it had to do with the lead up to the 2024 election. And I'm sorry that I'm fighting back laughter, but one of your goals was to create civilized dialogue, which, you know, was just becoming kind of like unicorns, a little bit rare. So can either one of you start by just telling me whose idea was this and how did this get started for the 2024 election?
Oh, I'd be delighted to answer that.
Thank you, Susan.
You know, the Main Street Agenda Project really started out of the La Follette School and faculty and staff coming together and thinking about how do we give back to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And we do that through our teaching, we do that through our research, but we also want to do that through our outreach activities, so engaging with regular Wisconsinites. And our mission at the La Follette School is evidence-based policymaking. And it became pretty clear in advance of this election that we couldn't get to that mission without getting people, regular Wisconsinites, to sit down and talk to each other about the issues that matter most to them. And so that was really the impetus. It was, how do we go about doing that in our communities? And how do we do that in a robust way that starts to reconnect people across the political aisle?
How did it go? Because I know you had at least four meetups. Two of them were called town halls. And what were the four public gatherings? What were those called?
You're exactly right. So we had two town halls, which I'm going to call kind of more traditional engagement activities, where we had community members and La Follette faculty members talking about their research, talking about issues like inflation or climate issues or healthcare. And we've done those kind of events for years, and they're an important part of our work. Mm-hmm. The four other events were all new to La Follette. Okay. And those we called our dinner and conversation events. And there we really did bring people across at four different locations across Wisconsin together around the dinner table, bringing Republicans, Democrats, independents who did not know each other together to have a meal and to have a facilitated conversation, again, about the issues that matter to them in advance of the election.
And no food fight ensued?
There was no food fight.
All right.
I will say that we were definitely ready for what could come. And, you know, we do live in trying times around civility. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the big lessons from Main Street Agenda that was refreshing and surprising for all of us was that people Wisconsinites do want to talk to each other. They do want to engage in important authority issues, even when they don't necessarily agree with each other, and they do want to do it in a civil way. So we had no food fight. We had no punches thrown. I mean, we were ready. And I think we were smart to be ready, but I was absolutely refreshed to find how many Wisconsinites wanted to engage with each other.
Okay, that's my recollection of my younger days. Back when I was growing up, my parents were considerably more conservative than I was. They did their best to convert me. It just didn't work. But we had these great conversations, especially my dad and I, about, I would say, well, here's why I disagree with this. And he'd say, well, I understand that, but here's how I view it. There was no, hostility or I'm right and you're wrong. There was no none of that, which was really refreshing. And sometimes I've wondered if we're ever going to get back to that. And the two of you are helping us get back to that. And Amber, what's your role in these meetings and this entire project?
Yeah, so I joined the La Follette faculty last August, August of 2024.
Can I just ask you, what is the La Follette School? Because we have a La Follette High School, mm-hmm. but this is part of the UW, right? So what is the La Follette School in this context?
Yeah, so we have graduate programs, master's degree programs in public affairs and international affairs. So we teach students who are going to go be those problem solvers, those policy leaders, advocates, analysts. We also have at UW-Madison a certificate program in public affairs. So we are now teaching a wide range of undergraduate students. But we are a small school, mm-hmm. largely focused on advancing evidence-based policy for the common good.
Okay.
And so it's a group of faculty that are, it's very interdisciplinary. Got health economists, you've got people trained in public administration, political science, who are all kind of committed to training the next generation of leaders.
And this is part of the UW?
That's right.
Okay, terrific. Okay, thank you for clarifying that. Now I will let you answer the original question about your role.
Absolutely. So I joined La Follette in August of 2024. I went to graduate school at Madison, and I knew Susan from way back when I was a graduate student. And when she talked to me about the Main Street agendas, and there was some nice alignment with some of the work that I was doing in my previous job, where I've been thinking a lot about deliberative practices, both in terms of what this looks like on college campuses, mm-hmm. but also what we might do in the broader community. And I've done workshops and trainings. I've trained students, peer facilitators, faculty. And so in advance of the Main Street agenda, Susan recruited me to do some of the training, some of that prep work.
Okay.
And as Susan alluded to, we were prepared for things to go south. We did some role play where we had little cards at the table saying, okay, if it just all goes, you know, where you've got someone just going on and on, or they're getting angry, or they're shouting, what could we do?
Yeah.
And what was so wonderful, Susan mentioned how much joy, hunger, if you will, these events took place over a shared meal. That always helps.
Yeah.
But afterwards, people just kept saying, we need more of this.
Mm-hmm.
This was so fun. And actually, a lot of research shows this, that when we talk to strangers, we get a little boost in our mood. It feels good. And I think we saw that in the four different locations. We think now about, well, what do we do to keep that going,
mm-hmm.
To create those opportunities for people to come together to talk across difference?
Yeah. One of the things that struck, and it didn't surprise me because I figured that this was probably part of the work that you guys were doing, was in all caps in one of the presentations. I believe it was an interview that you were doing, Susan, where one of the things in all caps said, we are not trying to change minds. But I kind of bet you did in some ways anyway. I mean, not you, but I bet the events probably did make some changes, at least around the edges, right? Did people come to understand each other better? How can we, am I putting you on the spot?
Not at all. Man, you're teeing me up for something I absolutely want to answer.
Oh, great. Hit the ball off the tee.
So Amber was saying that at the La Follette School, we are the school, the public policy school at UW-Madison. So,
okay.
You know, that's our role, one of the top public policy schools in the country, in fact, in the world.
Yeah.
And so that role has us both, again, engaging in outreach activities across Wisconsin, but also being a world-class research university, you know, part of a world-class research university.
Yeah.
So when we, and Amber and I, and many of our La Follette faculty colleagues set off on this Main Street Agenda saga, I mean, this was a lot of work to coordinate, organize, get the right people in the room. You know, when we were going to undertake such a large outreach activity, we also wanted to have an important research element to it.
Mm-hmm.
So underlying these four dinner and conversation events, which, by the way, happened in Pewaukee, Madison, Green Bay, and Eau Claire.
Okay.
So underlying these dinner and research conversation events was a large research apparatus as well.
Mm-hmm.
So in advance of all the events, we polled people about their feelings toward ordinary Republicans and Democrats.
Okay.
We polled people about their attitudes, kind of their what political scientists call their warmth toward people in the out party, so the other party.
Okay.
You know, questions, behavioral questions like, would you ever want your son or daughter to marry somebody of the out party?
Oh, like,
so that can those kind of questions
that's
can
fascinating.
Reveal
okay. Oh,
some,
do tell.
Reveal some really interesting patterns.
I bet.
And so we have information before the events, and we have information for both people that were that ended up participating in the events, as well as a equal snapshot of the same type of Wisconsinites who didn't participate in the events.
Okay.
And so what we're able to do is then compare those people, those people's attitudes on things like warmth toward the out party, and we can compare whether the events seem to matter. So did the people that went to the events, did their warmth toward the out party change from before their attitudes before their event to after versus a representative and in fact matched control group. And we're able to show that at the events, you know, after the events, people feel immediately after the events, people feel much warmer toward the out party.
Okay.
And that effect actually lasts for several weeks afterwards when we measure it again. Now, it dips down a bit, but it's still there, and it's still what social scientists would call
over time it slides down a little bit.
Just a bit, and so we measure it over the course of about about a month afterwards.
Okay.
And those effects are still statistically significant, which is meaningful for a researcher like myself.
Okay, yeah, and that makes sense because when you know it's difficult, and this has been true of racism and anti-LGBTQ feelings. If you know somebody in that group personally, it's much harder to hate the group, right? Because you have humanized it, and through things like social media, we have the opposite of that. We're able to be somewhat anonymous, and so you can just insult people and be nasty and kind of get away with it because the person you're arguing with might live in Boise. So bringing people together like that, I imagine it would have that kind of positive impact. So what is happening with the Main Street Agenda now? We are now past that election. We all know how that went. And now where are we? And is the project continuing and has its focus changed at all?
Yeah, so I'll answer in a couple different ways, and then I want to ask Amber to answer as well. So through the research, the work continues. Mm-hmm. So we know that across the nation, hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent by organizations like Braver Angels, or my favorite is Make America Dinner Again.
I love that.
It's a great one, right?
Great. Yeah, that's great. Okay.
A lot of philanthropy has gone into...
Are people running around with Meta hats?
They should be.
they should be.
That's
great.
Right? It's right on brand. You know, a lot of people, a lot of organizations believe that these kind of events can move the needle on political polarization. And in, you know, you mentioned earlier, Buzz, that we all know that our country faces a real trial in terms of its political dividedness right now.
Yeah.
Yet the opportunities to mitigate or to lessen that are limited. You know, we're not going to change overnight our social media environment, and we're not going to change overnight the fact that we have started to sort politically and live in different communities. Those are really hard remedies. But bringing people together to talk over a meal is something that the local Kiwanis group can do, or the Rotary, you know, some of those civic organizations and organizations that have popped up like Braver Angels. But what we don't know is whether those activities work or not.
Okay.
So research like this can help to answer that question.
And Braver Angels, what do they do? Is that similar to Make America Dinner Again? Is that
exactly?
It is. Okay.
You know, they're probably even larger organization than Make America Dinner Again.
Okay.
You know, they are focused on having kind of hard conversations across the political aisle. In fact, not exclusively on that, but that's what they're best known for.
Okay.
And they're a nationwide nonprofit that does a lot of work in this space. And I think that they are doing really interesting, important work. And now, as researchers, it's part of our job to better understand whether that work or similar work works or not.
Right. Okay.
I'll answer one other way.
Okay.
And that is, all of our La Follette faculty, or almost all of our La Follette faculty, went through a training session to be good facilitators of these conversation events across Wisconsin. And I think for Wisconsin, for UW-Madison, we want our faculty members to be able to encourage dialogue across difference, both in the community, but also in our UW-Madison classrooms.
Right.
And that's a real challenge of the university. It's a challenge that our I know our state legislators point out about the university with some frequency. Mm-hmm. And it's a challenge that La Follette wants to address in the classroom by making sure we have these kind of professional development opportunities for our faculty, and our faculty very much embraced it. Now, that's what we did in teaching and research, but Amber's continuing it through our outreach mission.
The outreach, okay. Yeah. Amber, what tell us about the outreach aspect of this.
Yeah, absolutely. So Susan mentioned that these dinners last year were held in four locations. And there are folks that have reached out, you know, I'm curious to learn more. So I've given talks at public libraries, just sharing a little bit, because there is this real hunger for some segment that wants to have more authentic conversations and to have opportunities to connect. And through the sort of outreach, connecting, social networking, if you will, some folks in Eau Claire, which is one of the locations that we had one of these dinners, said, you know, we have an issue in our community that has caused some controversy or concern, and that is rising sort of housing insecurity, homelessness, and Eau Claire County is trying to problem solve around this issue. And folks there want to find ways to better engage the public in these problem-solving efforts, really trying to address some of the divisiveness that kind of characterizes our politics, but also low trust, low engagement, so to try to repair some of these relationships. And so this past spring, I worked with some colleagues up in Eau Claire County, along with Eau Claire County's Department of Human Services, Eau Claire's health department, their city county health department, where we followed some of the script from the Main Street Agendas project, which is we sent out invitations to the broader community, inviting them to the table to have a conversation about this particular issue and what the county might do to address it and to really involve and engage the community in those problem-solving efforts. And so the city administrator kindly shared the invitation widely through the county. We had over 200 people express interest in coming. The one difference that we did, so the Main Street Agendas, these were large dinners where we had multiple tables, many different facilitators. Imagine just a big kind of cacophonous room, people eating and just
conversing. So you literally had 200 people sitting around having dinner?
So at our Main Street Agendas, some of these events were quite large. I mean,
wow.
I think the smallest one might have been just shy of 100.
Okay.
So in Eau Claire,
I'm glad we covered that, because I was thinking you were having a group of like 30 people, you know, sitting around, and that would have been a lot. But yeah, that's
so these Main Street Agendas dinners were quite large. Now, in Eau Claire, for both just capacity, but also because the interest from Eau Claire was to have a longer conversation. Mm-hmm. And so we actually convened what we called a citizens assembly.
Okay.
So we had 200 people express interest, and this was going to be a day-long discussion. So come, we're going to have a lunch, we're going to talk, we're going to hear some presentations, and we really need a group of community members to come up with some recommendations that we think could help inform the county.
Okay.
And so of the 200, we then picked a group of 25. We were trying to get as diverse of a group as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal was to really open up the conversation. You know, you go to a local government meeting, a town hall, oftentimes it's the same old people who show up and who speak.
Right.
And the county was really interested, how do we engage a broader, more diverse cross-section of our community? And we know from other research that sometimes it just takes people being asked to come to the table. And so we had a group of 25, and I want to be clear, we had Republicans, Democrats, Independents. We had homeowners. Remember, the topic is housing insecurity and homelessness.
Okay, got it.
We had homeowners. We had renters. Mm-hmm. We had people with lived and living experience of homelessness at the table. We also had a research component as well embedded in this because we want to know whether or not these forms of engagement make any sort of difference. It takes a lot to put these things together in terms of the planning, the recruitment, running the events the day of. And just like our Main Street Agendas project, folks who participated in the Citizens Assembly gave it such high marks. Things like they would recommend other governments, local governments, do these. The fact that they were able to come learn about an important issue, hear from different perspectives that they might not otherwise have heard. It informed and improved their understanding of the issue. And the one difference with the Main Street Agendas is this group actually deliberated over the span of several hours and came up with 10 recommendations that they workshopped and then they delivered to the Eau Claire County Department of Human Services.
Okay.
And those recommendations are helping to inform the county strategy as it thinks about addressing a really important public problem policy issue.
Yeah. Were there participants there who were homeless in that moment?
Yes.
Wow. So that must have been really powerful because instead of a group of people saying, yes, I think they need this and I think they should have this, you have people saying, here's what I'm experiencing. Here's my day-to-day existence and here's what I need for help. That had to be pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really excited to work with other communities who might be interested in these deliberative forms of engagement, of bringing people together with intention, but getting strangers really to come around a table with mutual respect, to listen, to learn, to engage, and to really focus on the issues that matter to them in their communities. Mm-hmm. I think I come away from these events feeling really hopeful, actually, about the future.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. Good. We definitely need that. I want to get to the future of the Main Street Agenda Project, like where you see this going. But before I hit that, I just think about the fact that we are in somewhat of a unique position here in Wisconsin in that we are so deeply purple. The last presidential election was decided by less than 1%. And that is typically, with a few exceptions, that is typically how it goes. Is that the reason, or does that feed into why the La Follette School and the UW decided to do this, or did that feed into it?
It did. Yeah. I mean, and I think here I'd like to emphasize, we can do two things at once.
Right?
Yeah. So what we can learn from Wisconsin generalizes to the United States in a way that, as you mentioned, what we can learn from California might not necessarily. So that's one piece. So that with that researcher hat on, Wisconsin is a wonderful laboratory for understanding what could work in our broader nation. But more importantly than that, it's just the right thing to do. You know, the kind of work that Amber is doing, the kind of work that Main Street Agenda is doing for our state feeds into this idea of, again, our mission at the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison is evidence-based policymaking. Yeah. We can get evidence in a lot of different ways. One of the ways that we want to get evidence is to have kind of the informed opinions of the people that are affected by public policies in the communities and have that feed in to our decision making. And without that link, people can feel very isolated. It can feel, we live in a polarized society, but if there's no feedback loop to our elected representatives, that's a problem.
Right.
And so that type of work is important and we want to study it, but it's important because it's the right thing to do.
Anything to add from your perspective?
Well, we've touched really on the research and on the outreach piece of it, but maybe I'll say a little bit about the teaching aspect.
Yeah.
This past semester, we had the first kind of inaugural class a new class called Advancing Public Policy in a Divided America. Mm-hmm. We had 26 students in this first class. These are undergraduate students. And the La Follette School feels that preparing students for careers in public policy requires some new skills and mindsets that I think are kind of missing a bit in our polarized society. So just to give some context here, I have a master's in public policy, got it many, many years ago. And when I was in school, the emphasis was on learning the analytical skills. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn statistics. You're going to learn about kind of causal inference. How do we know these policies have any sort of impact? You're going to take classes in cost-benefit analysis. You're going to learn these analytical tools and mm-hmm. skills, as well as communication skills. So it was the analysis and the communication. How do you write really effective public policy briefs mm-hmm. and communicate complex ideas and issues, you know, to more general audiences, to policymakers. But this class, I think, really shines a light on what does it mean to be a collaborative problem solver? Because public policy is also about that, about bringing people together. It's the policy expertise, but it's also the people impacted by policy. Mm-hmm. How do we encourage the sharing of experiences and insights and knowledge. It is active listening. It is mm-hmm. deliberation. It is answering the question, what should we do?
Right.
And we live in a big, diverse country. Yeah. And we have to figure out how we can more effectively together answer that question, what should mm-hmm. we do? So the class really focused on those skills and that mindset. Mm-hmm. So we dug into a little bit about, like, what are our cognitive biases? Why is it that it's so easy for us to become so hyperpolarized? Mm-hmm. And what might we do to counteract that? Yeah. One of the best insights, I think, from cognitive science is that we are lazy and biased reasoners when we reason alone.
Okay.
We, we have our confirmation biases. We will seek out the information sources that align with our, mm-hmm. our, you know, beliefs, our political values. But we are much more objective and discerning when we can reason together. Mm-hmm. And today in our political culture, we're doing a lot less of that.
Yeah.
We're much more segregated and in our echo chambers, whether it's in the online world, but also in our just day-to-day lives in our communities. So the students were learning about that, kind of the roots of our polarization. Mm-hmm. But then we were learning about deliberative practices and then trying our hands at them. The class was very hands-on, where we were doing a lot of robust discussion in class. We were looking at negotiation skills, like how do you, if you've got a contentious issue? Students were looking at, for example, immigration and thinking about the last several decades of immigration policy and these efforts to try to find some path forward. And so it was a really fun class to teach.
Yeah.
I think the students, it's a tough sell. Come take a class where we're going to talk about hard, contentious issues in a divided America. I mean, it has all the things to kind of set up that, it's almost like eat your broccoli. Like, do you really want to take these sorts of classes? And we had it was the most rewarding class I think I've ever taught in my career.
Yeah.
What we got out of it, the feedback that I got from students said these are lifelong skills.
Yeah.
I'm using these skills in my social settings when I'm getting together mm-hmm. with my friends, when I go home for dinner, with my family, I can see the ways in which these skills are going to translate to the workforce, mm-hmm. My future career. And so the teaching and thinking about what are the skills, what are the mindsets that our students need so they can be more effective problem solvers. Okay. When they leave our campus. Mm-hmm. It's been a really great experience. I'm excited. I'll be teaching it again this fall.
Well, it sounds like it. And I, the excitement on both your part is just palpable. I mean, I can just feel how you both are really passionate about this, and it's great. And I love your analogy of eat your broccoli, because through social media, we see so many evidences of people basically saying, but this lie is so pretty and delicious and sweet and wonderful. I'm just going to go with that, you know, as opposed to, yeah, eat your broccoli. This is what's really happening and deal with it. Yeah.
So can I give an example from the class? So in the class, the students, we have a unit on nonpartisan policy analysis. And I assign the policy issue as well as the side, the position that the students have to investigate and kind of present the full case. And, you know, odds are that a student is going to be assigned a position that doesn't quite fit with their, you know, their political, you know, perspective, values, what positions. And there will be the inevitable groan in the classroom where the students get the assignment and I hear it. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
And yet to see over the span of several weeks, I'll come back to the mainstream agenda. It's not about necessarily changing minds, but students on some of those issues, their minds did change.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that. Or I really believed X, but I never really thought about these unintended consequences or these trade-offs. So in some cases, yeah, students learned and their minds might change on some issues.
Right.
On others, students would say, nah, I still pretty much think this is, you know, where I stand. But they're more effective communicators.
Mm-hmm.
They can see areas where they might be able to seek compromise or common ground.
Mm-hmm.
So on kind of both ends, the students came away from the experience feeling that there's some value. But it's an audible groan in the classroom of like, oh. And yet, when they're polled afterward, it was one of the most rewarding classroom, you know, experiences that they had.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. You're trying to open up the tunnel vision and just get a little bit of a broader view. I don't want to keep you here all day, but I do want to touch on, where is this going? Does this continue into the 2026 midterms, into the 2028 presidential? Where is the Main Street agenda heading us?
So Main Street 2024 was actually an extension of Main Street 2022.
Oh,
so we actually did a round of engagement in the past.
Okay.
And I want to mention here our partners at UW Extension, so a wonderful partnership at Extension, as well as a partnership with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on this work. And so 2024 was an expansion, and really 2024 was a reply to 2022, where we brought a lot of people together. We wanted to have citizen dialogue, but we weren't quite ready to have the kind of full facilitated conversations that we did have in 2024. And I think now we're trying to assess what's needed for 2026.
Yeah.
You know, we want to have this be an evolving, engaging way in which we let Wisconsinites talk about the public policy issues that matter to them in advance of the election. And part of that is a reply to what Amber was talking about in her class, this amazing, innovative La Follette School class that's actually going to be a linchpin class in a new undergraduate major in public policy, which we're just about to launch. And what she's talking about is what are the 21st century civic skills that we need?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are those skills? And this talking across differences, some of those skills. And so I think in 2026, what we'll be looking to do is advancing this in a way that makes sense for Wisconsin in 2026.
Okay, terrific. Any comment on that from your aspect? Amber?
No, I'm excited. I think that there's a great foundation that's being built, but also a real, things that are super encouraging is that if people are invited, so many people are saying, yes, they want this. And that should, again, I'll come back to hope. I think that gives me a lot of hope as we head into 2026.
We need more of that. Thank you both for your work on this in the past and your continued work. And thank you for coming in to do this interview. I have learned a tremendous amount and it's been very clarifying, and I appreciate your time. Amber Wichowski and Susan Webb Yaki, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Badger Talks podcast. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Associate Professor of Public Affairs and Leadership Wisconsin Endowed Chair for the Division of Extension, Amber Wichowski, and Susan Webb Yockey, Collins Bascom Professor of Public Affairs at UW-Madison and the Director of the La Follette School of Public Affairs. Please browse our previous episodes for other topics that may be of interest to you. The Badger Talks podcast is a creation of UW Connects and produced at Audio for the Arts Recording Studio in Madison, Wisconsin. Our music is composed by Bill Purdy and performed by the UW Marching Band. I'm Buzz Kemper. Thank you for listening.